Well, amen. We running CD, got YouTube going. I think everything's ready to go, so we'll go ahead and get started here. If you've got a hymn book, turn to page number 198. 198, Sister Sarah said I'm blasting her out, so I'll turn that down just a little bit. 198, Joy Unspeakable. When you're there, let's stand, and we'll start off here. 198, Joy Unspeakable. Amen. 198, here we go. I have found His grace is all complete. He supplieth every need. While I sit and learn at Jesus' feet, I am free, yes, free indeed. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, the half has never yet been told. I have found the pleasure I once craved. It is joy and peace within. What a wondrous blessing, I am saved from the awful gulf of sin. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, the half has never yet been told. On the third, I have found that hope so bright and clear, living in the realm of grace. Oh, the Savior's presence is so near, I can see His smiling face. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, the half has never yet been told. I have found the joy no tongue can tell, how its waves of glory roll. It is like a great o'erflowing well, springing up within my soul. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, the half has never yet been told. Amen. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank You for this day. Lord, I thank You for the rain that we've received today, that liquid sunshine, and how necessary it is. Lord, that water of life that keeps everything going. Lord, I'm just thankful that You've provided for us. And then, Lord, I'm thankful that You've touched us this morning. Lord, just that we had the time in Your Word, and Lord, that we can know that You're there and You're in Your presence. And Lord, I'm thankful that there is a joy. Lord, this world is starving. This world is craving, and they're searching in all the wrong areas. And never find Your love, never find satisfaction aside from You. And Lord, I pray that You would just touch us tonight as we come to Your Word again. Lord, that You would encourage us through it. Father, as well, I pray that You would motivate us, Lord, to go and live for You and like You, Lord. And I just ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Take your hymn books, turn over to page number 145. 145, It Is Well With My Soul. Don't sing this a whole lot as a congregational, but I like the song. I hope it's well with your soul tonight. You don't know when your day is done. You don't know when your time is over. And it doesn't matter all the stress and strife that's going on. It can still be well with our soul. 145. You may be seated. And Sister Sarah's already there. So she's kind of my cue, and I just forgot to tell you. Amen. If you're standing up at the house, stand up at your house. Amen. Here we go. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, what It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate, and hath shed His own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. On the last. And Lord, haste the day when my face shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. Amen. Page 164. Once you get it well with your soul, you'll be able to praise Him. Amen. 164. Praise Him, praise Him. Amen. Praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, His wonderful love proclaim. Hail Him, highest archangels in glory. Strength and honor give to His holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard His children. In His arms He carries them all day long. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. For our sins He suffered and bled and died. He, our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Hail Him, Jesus the crucified. Sound His praises, Jesus who bore our sorrows, love unbounded, wonderful, deep, and strong. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song. On the last, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portals loud with hosannas ring. Jesus, Savior, reigneth forever and ever. Crown Him, prophet and priest and king. Christ is coming over the world victorious. Power and glory unto the Lord belong. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song. Amen. Well, it's good to be here tonight. Hope you've had a good afternoon, got you some rest, got things done that needed done, but yet, in the same sense, didn't replace the Lord. So often we forgot that we need Him to speak to us through the day. I hope you've taken some time, meditated on the message this morning, and just asked God to show you His will. And I know some of you would say, well, preacher, that's what I'd done while I was at church, but so often, once we leave those doors, we just let it fly. It's almost like I'll fly away. Well, the message just flew away. And so I hope that you'd take some time to chew on it a little bit. I guess the good thing is putting it on the internet, you're able to view it right now and be able to go back and see it again later. And so it is a blessing, I guess, in that aspect. I do try to put them on the internet. And once again, promote this. I noticed we got 101 subscribers. I don't know if Brother John Ridings was one of them. He was watching again this morning. Brother John Ridings is one of our faithful missionaries to Mexico, to a very dangerous area in Mexico, but I'm thankful for his faithfulness, and he just keeps going. I've never met him in person, but I do love him. I pray for him, and I hope you'll do the same. It's a blessing to have him tuning in with us, but do promote this. I quit doing the subscription to the third party. I think that it probably made things a little bit easier, but I don't know that I really seen much difference. So as of tomorrow, we'll no longer have that script, but I'll still be putting it on YouTube. Don't worry, nothing's going to change. I'm just trying to find the right thing. I'm not going to pay for something that's not beneficial. But if we had 1,000 subscribers, and I know you're going to say, preacher, we've only got 101 subscribers. That means that we're closer than we were 6 months ago. That's what that means. And we need 1,000 subscribers, so all I've got to do is push a button on my phone, and we can automatically go live. So I encourage you, let others know, promote it, and tell them to subscribe. And then they'll get an update as well when we're going to put it online. And every service should be coming to you live over the internet through YouTube. And I'm thankful for that opportunity. All right, I'm going to quit doing the plug for YouTube because I really don't care for YouTube. I just care that we are able to reach others. Amen. Mark chapter number 2. We're going to go back to the same passage that we had started with last week. And I had preach the same context in Luke 5, or the same story this morning. And we're going to look back at that same account today, or tonight, and see what the Lord has for us. I believe that we got another message here, and I could probably go for another couple, but I'll probably quit meditating so much on this and look at a different area that God's got my heart right now. Mark chapter number 2, I'd like us to look at verse number 1. When you get there, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Mark chapter 2, verse number 1. It says, "And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, as it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of 4. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof,
where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? Verse 8, And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that thou may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. He saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thy house. And verse 12, And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you. Father, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your love that you have for us, the safety that you've provided, the strength that you give. And Lord, I pray that you would just touch us again tonight. Father, help me. Lord, I don't want to beat a dead horse. I don't want to come back to this passage and try to keep wringing stuff out of it. But Lord, you've truly showed me this. And Lord, I pray that you would just help me to be able to proclaim it. And Lord, that it would be our goal and our desire after the message to truly live as your word would have us. And Father, I can't help but think about our nation. I can't help but understand the problem within the homes today. And Lord, I pray that we would have a house like your house. And Lord, I pray that you would just help us. Father, that we would set our mind and we would set our hearts to just live for you in such a way, Lord, that this world would too say that they've never seen it on this fashion. Lord, that this is strange to them. Lord, I know that the true child of God that really is sold out for you is an oddity today. And Lord, I pray that we would be more of them. Lord, that you would add us to that one that sold out for you. And Lord, I just ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. We've looked at this passage of Scripture now. This will be the fourth service. The first time we looked at the four that brought the one. The second time we looked at the one that was brought by the four. And then this morning we had looked at the specific group out of that audience. I did not look at the multitude that was there. And we could definitely take time and study out that multitude and understand all of their needs and how they were so dumbfounded at all that God had done. And I can't help but think about this lost world today that's all around us, and we can rejoice and we can be that one that gets up off their bed and lives for the Lord, and the world still looks and they say that, boy, that's an amazing thing, and yet they don't want it for themselves. But I'd like tonight to look at the meeting place of this. I'd like to look at where this event has taken place, and not necessarily in Capernaum, but specifically in the house. And how important was this house? Well, I would even go first of all with whose house was it? And you say, Preacher, you don't know whose house it was. Well, several years ago I had heard a message by Brother Mike Qualls, and I don't know how many know Brother Mike Qualls, but great man of God, definitely deeper in study than I am. Boy, I can scratch the surface, but God just reveals some things to him. And I'd like to show you through Scripture. And I truly lean where he was leading us to go, and that this would be Jesus' house. Now, some of you are going to say, well, Preacher, there's no way this was Jesus' house. He had no place. And you'd even want to quote to me there in Luke chapter number 9 and verse number 58. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes and birds have of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And you would say, well, he didn't have a house. Well, Scripture shows otherwise. In fact, if we were to look at Luke chapter number 9 and verse number 57, this is the test of discipleship. There was some that would say that, boy, I'm going to follow you. And there's many today that would say that they're going to follow. But once they leave the comforts of their flesh, once they leave the comforts of home, they don't want to follow very long. He had a place to stay, and we see several times where he's stayed in a place, a specific place. It's a place that's back in Capernaum, and it's over and over and over. You say, well, preacher, he was from Nazareth. He was there in Galilee. Well, I'd like to explain to you for a moment where Capernaum is. If you were to look at the map, and you was to see the Sea of Galilee right here, Capernaum is at the top or the northwest corner of the Sea of Galilee. It is right there on the sea. And so, just hold that in your mind now. Hold your place in Mark 2, and I want you to turn over to John chapter number 2. John chapter number 2. Jesus' first miracle that he had performed is in John chapter number 2. In John chapter number 2 is the marriage at Cana. But I want you to look on down, and I want you to look at verse number 11. In John chapter number 2, verse number 11. This beginning of the miracles did Jesus of Canaan. I'm sorry, in Canaan of Galilee. And manifested forth His glory, and His disciples believed on Him. After this, notice this, He went down to Capernaum. He and His mother and His brethren and His disciples, and they continued there not many days. And you'd say, well, preacher, that's that they only stayed there a few days. No. They stayed there. In fact, if you remember the account and the context there, that turn over to Matthew 13. Just I'll cut to the chase here. Turn over to Matthew 13. In Matthew chapter number 13, we find in verse number 1, it says, the same day went Jesus out of the house. I want you to take note of that. And sat by the seaside. Well, what house is that? That's that house in Capernaum. That's that house that he was talking about that was right there on the seaside. But I want you to look back up to chapter 12. In verse number 46, he says, while he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without desiring to speak with him. Where were they? The same place that they were when they had left there in John chapter number 2 and verse number 12. They had went down to Capernaum. He had put his mother and his brethren in a house. This was the house that he would have been in until it was time for him to go to Jerusalem. Now yes, he had taken and he had went and he had traveled and he had done, but that was his house. That was the place he would come back to when he went to Capernaum, when he had went and he had preached those great the great message here of the sower. And he would preach to that multitude. It was a natural backdrop. Jesus was right there. His house was right there. You say, preacher, what's so significant about this house? Why is it so important? May I tell you, it was a singular house. It was an exact house. It was a specific house. We know this from the passage of Scripture in Mark chapter number 2. We know this as well that there that I showed you in Matthew chapter number 13 and verse number 1, that it was the house. That word "the" is showing that it's a specific house, or it is an exact house. And he was in the house in Mark 2 and verse 1. And so we look as well that he gives us a command to this man that gets up. In verse number 11, he says, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. You know what's happening to America today? And I know you say, preacher, you preach a lot on the family. I do, because that's where America is struggling today. That's where churches are struggling today, is the home. Every home in America, every home across the world is under attack. Satan wants to destroy the home. And Jesus gives an example of a house, the house. And now, I'm not talking about the house of God at the church. No. Listen, I don't know what you have set up in your living room, but I'm thankful for my recliner. I love pews at the church, but I don't necessarily want a pew in my living room. We've got one on the front porch, and that's fine. It holds some pillows and stuff. It doesn't hold me. I love my recliner. But I'm thankful that there's some things that God has showed us through the Word of God, that Jesus teaches us, and when He was here on this earth, about what a house should be like. And there's some areas in our life, and I'm not going to re-preach the message that Brother Qualls had preached before, but I want us to look at this example that we have here, because he tells him to take, and he tells him to go to thine house. Listen, God's way is always the right way. God touches this man and he says, look, I want you to take this that I've given you. I want you to look around. And I want you to take this, I want you to get up, and I want you to take it to your house. May I tell you that I can't come to your house and help you. I can't do that. But I can give you the recipe that God has out of His Word so that you can take this to your house. I can help you it through the Word of God understand what your house needs, that you can have the same house that we find in Mark chapter number 2. Notice if you would. In this thought of taking to my house, I want my house to be like Jesus' house. I want it to be a place where the Savior is admired. Where the Savior is admired. Say, preacher, how's that? Well, it's where His Word was exalted. What was he doing in all these accounts in Matthew chapter number 9, in Mark chapter number 2, and in Luke chapter number 5, we find that he's preaching the Word. He's teaching. His Word is exalted. May I tell you that when God is truly admired, when our Savior is truly admired, His Word has some power to it. His Word has some meaning to it. His Word has some value to it. And His Word would be exalted. I think about Psalm 119 and verse number 162. The Bible says, I rejoice at the Word as one that findeth great spoil. I wonder if you really look at the Word of God as if it's a great treasure in your life and how valuable it is. May I tell you that you'll never love God until you love His Word. You say, preacher, how do you know that? That's an awful bold statement. You don't know my heart. You can't tell me that. Listen to me. God tells us who He is through His Word. He tells us about the love that He has for us. He tells us how to love Him through His Word. And the Bible teaches us in 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse number 16. It says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. If you truly admire the Savior at home, His Word has some value to you at the house. Isn't it amazing? The millions of Americans that will tell you that they know God and that they love the Lord don't ever open His book at the house. I've heard of an account where they went, I guess it was to Savannah somewhere, and some reality show that builds these homes, these special homes for people, or builds a new home for people. This family had a child, or they were giving birth to a child, and so in this nursery they had taken and they had placed a Bible in the concrete of that nursery where that child's going to be reared. May I tell you what they needed to do was hold it above the concrete to where they could have read it to that child. Truth be known, it was probably some perverted text anyway, and it needed to be buried, because that's where dead things go. But yet, I find that if we would take the Word of God and share it with our children, if we would remember what God had told us there in the book of Deuteronomy, that we're to teach our children the Word of God day and night, and when we're standing, when we're walking, when we're sitting, every time that we move, we should have the Word of God. Why? Because the Savior is admired. And so I find as well. It's a place where the Savior's admired. It's where His Word will be exalted. But it's where faith is more than a fashion. It's where faith is more than a fashion. Do you ever notice that faith comes up and down? And there's a whole lot of roller coaster Christians. And I'm not talking about the roller coaster Christians that are in and out of church. I'm talking about those that are truly devoted. But yet, sometimes our faith is that we wear it, but it just doesn't seem to fit right. It just doesn't seem to to be the way that we need it to be. It doesn't seem to really help us, and we kind of decide that we're going to do it our own way. Listen, every one of us have that in us. In the flesh, it says that you need to do it yourself, and then if you can't do it, when you fail, then God will take care of it. But why is it we don't fail first by not even starting and just say, Lord, it's yours? If you would, hold your place in the book of Mark, and I want you to turn over to Deuteronomy chapter number 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32, I want you to look at verse number 15. Very end of the book of Deuteronomy, we find the song of Moses here. I guess technically it's towards the end of Deuteronomy. Moses has not died yet, but we find it getting ready to go into the promised land. And this song of Moses is reminding them what all's taken place, what all's happened. So often we would have it in song to remember it. May I tell you that if you admire him, you'll follow him. And you can only follow by faith. Deuteronomy 32, I want you to look at verse number 15. But Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat. Thou art grown thick. Thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God, which made him and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God. To gods whom they knew not. To new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten God that formed thee. When the Lord saw it, he abhorred them because of the provoking of his sons and of his daughters. And he said, look at this, I will hide my face from them. I will see that what their end shall be. For they are a very forward generation, children in whom is no faith. You know what happens to us? We grow fat. America is a very fat nation anyway. I'm not talking about physically in the sense of our body, but I'm talking about with abundance. We have abundance. And yet I find that in this abundance we've came to the place that we don't need God as much. You see, this is where the children of Israel were. They really didn't have any faith. They had everything that they needed. I wonder if we're in the same boat. Do you know that children of faith or children of no faith come from parents with little faith? What are we teaching our children? I'm talking about having a house like what Jesus had. A house we can find here that these men came and they came in faith. The Bible teaches us in Matthew chapter number 9 and in Mark chapter number 2 and in Luke chapter number 5 that when Jesus saw them, he saw their faith. You say, preacher, was that in the house? I'm telling you, the multitude that had came, they had came in faith, trusting that he could do something. Oh, the disciples, they believed on him. Why would they have been there? They were there in faith. May I remind you what we need more of? Faith. If we really admire him, we trust him. And so I find as well, it's not just where the Savior is admired. It's where the sick are accepted. It's where the sick are accepted. Go back over to our text. In Mark chapter number 2, we find here the multitude that came. This multitude that came, they had came in such a way, they had came from all over, they had came for one purpose. They had came. And in this, in their coming, they had came so much that there was not even room in verse number 2. Straightway, many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. It means that they were so packed in there. It was truly standing room only. We can barely, and I know we're in the midst of COVID and we've got all the social distancing. And listen, I've heard of churches that have had to shut down for a while because they've had some cases. I don't want that. I'm not saying that I want us to have to put chairs out right now. But in the same sense, when everything's going right and everything's going okay, even as things have calmed down, boy, we'd have YouTube watchers on Wednesday night and we'd have YouTube watchers on Sunday nights and Sunday mornings. And boy, we had them watching and we had them going. And now where are they? I'm not talking about the normal church. I'm talking about people that would tune in. Well, everything's back to where it's comfortable. But I find that this multitude had came in such a way that they had came so many. Oh, they came to know more about Him. They came to see His miracles. They weren't being entertained, and I know I've brought this up every message that I've preached out of this passage, but I believe that entertainment is one of the problems that we have today. We need to be entertained in order to stay in church. But yet all He did was preach to them. It didn't even tell us that He had a song service. All it says is that He preached the Word, that He taught them. And so I find here the multitude that came. They weren't just hanging out. They came for a reason. I wonder who had invited them. I wonder who had invited them. I'm talking about this multitude. Listen, this multitude that came wasn't a multitude of saved. There was some lost in that multitude. We know that from the end when they said that they had never seen anything like that. Boy, I'm telling you, if you've ever gotten saved, when someone else gets saved, you can go, yep, I know exactly what you're talking about. Because I've seen it. He's done it to me. But so often, we think about that multitude. I wonder who told them. I wonder why they were there. You say, preacher, you got to make a relationship. Oh, I guarantee you that you got to be friendly to them. But I wonder how many people we've prayed for in our home for their soul. How many millions and millions. We've got missionaries all over this world. Brother Sonny McGuffey and Sister McGuffey are getting ready to go back over to Nigeria. I believe September the 11th is his ticket. And I wonder how many times we've prayed one time for any of the souls in Nigeria. And you say, preacher, why'd you bring up Nigeria? I don't know. God just put it on my mind. But we've got them from Argentina all the way. We don't have any in Zimbabwe, or I'd tell you that we have them from A to Z. Maybe we need to get one. I guess what I'm getting at is, how many times have you lifted anyone up in your house as a family and said, boy, this soul needs to be saved? And then I think about the man that came. You know, not one time. In fact, I look at it, and someone had suggested, I don't know if it was one of the four, said, hey, let's go up to the roof. Or if it was one of them maybe standing near the door. Said, hey, why don't you go up on the roof? Jesus is right there. I can see Him. I just can't get you to Him. You know, no one stopped them. Did you notice that? No one stopped them. So I think about the multitude, but then I think about the man. He had the palsy. I had already mentioned before that he would have stunk. He would have had bed sores. I don't know bedpan-wise what was going on, but I guarantee you he stunk. I don't think he would have been easy to bathe. I think he would have just had some natural body odor. He stunk. And not to mention he was sick. He had the palsy. May I tell you that you get someone... I can think about people missing a limb. Brother Danny comes in. He doesn't hand out his hand without the fingers, without the rest of it. He doesn't give you his right hand to shake. You say, preacher, why is that? Because the nub would intimidate most people. I'm serious. I think about it. Now he'll play with the children with it. Carter used to love him. He would tell him that was his brain sucker, and he would mess with Carter with it. But is that not as adults? People look at people like they've got the plague. Boy, hold on, I don't want that. This man had the plague. And then they're destroying his property. What was more important? Getting him to the Lord.
I wonder how many times we look at someone as they're not really savable. I'm talking about in your house. I'm not saying right now that you've got to entertain tons and tons of people. I'm not saying right now that you've got to call all the lost in Pembroke to come to your home. That's not what I'm saying at all. But I wonder when the last time you've lifted them up in prayer. I wonder when the last time that the sick was accepted in your house, except to talk about them. The Bible tells us that it took a multitude before one got saved. You know that out of that multitude, there was a man that came by four, and he was the only one to get saved. And so maybe that's why the Bible always compels us, tells us to compel them to come. Because it's going to take a multitude before you get to the man that gets saved. But I wonder how much we accept them. I wonder where we're willing to go. The other day I was with Jonathan. We were traveling near the area where his church is. And he was talking about when it's time and he can go soul winning again. And we had passed a trailer park and I asked him if he had hit that trailer park yet. It was a couple miles from the church. And he said, "Dad, I've hit that trailer park 3 times, got no one to come to the door." And then he started to tell me, he said, "Dad, I hit that low income area over there and I hit this over there and that over there." And he hadn't went to the rich subdivisions. You know why? Because the sick need to be accepted. The sick are the ones that need the Savior. We've seen that this morning. And so I find as well that if you're going to have a home like Jesus' home, this last point is probably the most important point that we can have. I know that we need to have faith and the Savior needs to be admired and we need to have His Word exalted. I know that. But the sinner needs to be absolved. Absolved. I was going to give you the definition of absolved, and I guess I didn't put it on here. But to absolve is to forgive. To not hold guilt, to not even hold responsibility to that person. May I tell you that we have the power to forgive. I look here at the words that Jesus had, and I know that we can't forgive sins as far as a Savior, but we can forgive sins that someone sins against us. And so I look here that we have the power to forgive, and holding a grudge is not healthy. In Mark chapter number 2 and verse number 9, Jesus tells them that thy sins be forgiven thee. He tells him that in verse number 5, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And so take your Bibles, turn over to the book of Ephesians chapter number 4. And how often does someone hurt us? And we hold that grudge because we're going to get even. We hold that grudge because they hurt us. In Ephesians chapter number 4, I want you to look at verse number 30. It says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." Notice this. "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another," tender-hearted, "forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." May I tell you that only you have the power to forgive someone in your life. But it's what your house needs. And I'd like to explain the people to forgive. Isn't it amazing how we forgive the fallen? We forgive the fallen. You know, those outside the family. We forgive the fallen. They're easier to forgive sometimes than family. And we know in Matthew chapter number 6, verses 14 and 15, he says, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you." I'm sorry, "forgive your trespasses." That's not my words. That's God's words. And we know that, and we say, "Well, you know, I'm going to forgive them, and yeah, they did wrong, and I'm going to forgive them, but
but I'm going to forgive them. And it's easier to forgive the fallen sometimes because we don't live with them. But I'm talking about in our house. And so the people that we need to forgive most is our family. Our family. Say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, I think about Peter. As Peter had asked Jesus about forgiveness. And he said that if a brother offend, I'll forgive him seven times. And Jesus said, no, 70 times seven. Now, I know that Peter was speaking about a brother as far as a Jewish person. Wasn't speaking about a sibling. But may I tell you, that our greatest need today is to forgive those that are closest to us, remembering that they're not perfect. We're talking about a house like Jesus had. This man got up in verse number 12 and walked out like there was nothing wrong. You know why? Because his sins had been completely forgiven. Not one time did Jesus bring it up again. Hey, you remember the man with palsy? He didn't call him that anymore. Say, preacher, what'd he call him? I guess he called him the man without palsy. I don't know. I can't help but feel that our greatest need, and sometimes the hardest, and sometimes the most hurtful, is to forgive those that are closest to us. You see, because there's not a single one of us. Did you see that in Ephesians chapter 4? Be kind one to another. I can tell you that sometimes I'm not the kindest. I can tell you in front of my wife that I'm not the perfect husband. And I need her forgiveness as much as she needs my forgiveness. But then I think about my boys and my children. I don't care if John's moved out and I have Jacob and Jeremiah at the house. I can tell them I'm not the perfect dad. And I need their forgiveness as much as they need mine. I'm talking about having a house like Jesus. That we can take this home and apply it to our house. That we can lift Him up and admire Him and truly reverence Him. And that we can really accept the sick. I'm talking about those that need... Listen, have you not been disgusted at our world? May I tell you, the COVID isn't the worst thing we have going on. But we have a true sickness, a true sin sickness in our world. Oh, it's miserable. It's awful. If you just look around and see the corruption and see the acceptance, taxpayer dollars are being accepted and wasted because a man that's a pedophile says that that's his sexual orientation and the judge is hearing him. Does that not tell us how sick we truly are? And yet today, you say, preacher, would you open up your home to him? Oh, I'll take him to the Lord right now because that's where they need to go. Would you invite him to the Lord? Would you tell him? When's the last time that we've bore anyone to the Lord? And then I find as well that sins need to be forgiven. I can't forgive your sins for eternity. But only I can forgive you when you hurt me. You see, you're the one that has to determine that. You say, preacher, I'm going to hold on to it. What's it going to help you? You'll never have a house like Jesus had. You see, that man's sins were forgiven. And anyone else's could have been. You say, yeah, but he came and asked. That man didn't say a word. He just came. And Jesus said, you're forgiven. I wonder where we are tonight. I wonder why homes are so broke up. I wonder why hatred is so prevalent. Every one of us fail. None of us deserve to be forgiven, especially from God. But have you ever forgiven someone?
just because you love Him and He forgave you. Every one of us need forgiven. I want a house like Jesus had. How about you? Let's pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank You. I pray, Lord, that You would touch us tonight. Lord, I want Your house to be my house. Lord, I want it to be a place where You're admired, where Your Word really means something. It's more than just a Sunday habit, Lord. It's a life learning. Lord, we'll lift Your Word up and learn from it and follow You through it. And then, Lord, I think about the sick that are among us and that they need to be accepted, Lord. Not in their sin sickness, Lord, but that we can bring them to You because You're the only one that can forgive their sins for eternity and truly clean them up from the inside out. And then, Lord, I think about the ones that are around us, the ones that we love so much. Lord, I pray You'd help us. That we would have an unconditional love for them, but Lord, that we would forgive them when we're hurt by them. And Lord, that we wouldn't have a grudge in our house against the ones that we love so much. And Lord, I just pray, have Your will and way in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. I want to thank everyone for joining us. I'd like to encourage you, 7 o'clock Wednesday night, we'll be back here in the church. Of course, we'll have it on YouTube. Tune in, tell others, let them know, subscribe to the channel. Let's get our 1,000 subscribers. We've kind of drawn back a little bit. We've got 101. And you say, preacher, that means we're a long ways away. We're not near as far as we were. Do you know 899 people? Let them know. Let them know, and let's get us to 1,000 subscribers. I'm not trying to get it to where the church gets money off of this. That's not the purpose at all. But yet, so that we can use it and be able to use this tool. And we don't know when we're going to quit using it. I plan on using it till the Lord returns or He tells us otherwise. Either way, that's the way we need to do it. And you come be a part of it. Thank you for joining in, and we look forward to seeing you back Wednesday night.